cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, archives. It's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio Studio. All set and ready to go for 2 hours. Let's talk short track racing, shall we, Junior? Quite a weekend. Kentucky was the scene of a lot of racing.
Yeah, man. The Xfinity Series putting on a doubleheader. That was some great racing.
Yeah.
Got to take in quite a few laps there. And obviously, the Cup Series race today. Big surprise winner with Cole Custer. What a bold move for the 41 car.
I would say. And he, like, drove his way. Like, everybody had to be in the right spot, but the 41 had a real fast car, I'll tell you.
Yep. And there's a YouTube sensation called Larry Enticer. And he uses the term, just going to send it. And that's exactly what he did. You know, Cole Custer, Put her out on the outside, and he went high, wide, and handsome, and made it work.
Yeah, four wide at the start-finish line for that final lap. Nobody's got to be more surprised than Ryan Blaney. I don't know what he hit on the infield, but that car launched, and he was so lucky to save it. Seen a couple of them this weekend, not just today. But Kyle Busch, another one that really, really saved it. The car was dead sideways off one of the turns, and he grabbed that M&M's car and pointed it straight again. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah. Ryan Blaney was struggling, obviously, all throughout that race with the shifter kicking back out of gear.
Yeah. And how weird is that?
It happens a lot with these gearboxes, the way that they have them set up. It's really interesting, you know. Everything is set so perfectly straight in the drive line. But they run into these issues where they get these harmonic vibrations because of how it is set up.
Right.
On a short track, like a Martinsville or, you know, a half-mile racetrack, you don't necessarily notice that. When you're at a mile and a half or you're at a two-mile racetrack, very common just when you get the correct pinion angle in the thing and, just get, something off in the drive line.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be much at all. And you've got this significant vibration there. And it makes it easy, susceptible to jump out of gear, and you see them, just riding it out, basically. The same issue can be had if you have a wheel out of balance, just at that speed. You just get the right harmonic balance, and everything goes haywire on you.
Kind of looked like Jimmy Johnson was going to have a superb race today.
He needs to win one.
Right, man. Near the end, eh? Gets turned around, him and Brad Kay.
I want to see Jimmy Johnson win this year.
Me too.
I don't cheer for guys to win, unless I'm working on their car or spotting for them. And, but Jimmy Johnson, I really, and I think we're going to see it. Hendrick has got speed right now. Arguably not as much as the Ford camp right now. Obviously, the way that everything is shaken out, Ford is the cream of the crop right now, whether it be Penske, whether it be Stuart Haas, or even, for that matter, Roush is kicking some good speed. But Penske and Stuart Haas are definitely the kings right now of speed. And, I really hope that we see the 48 car in victory lane before the end of this year. What a weird set of circumstances. Jimmy Johnson, he is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
He's the greatest of all time.
Seven
that is strapped into a NASCAR Cup car.
Yep.
Just the craziest you know, competition level, the craziest points, you know, structure. Everything makes it harder to win in today's era than in yesteryears. And Jimmy Johnson announces his retirement. Obviously, he's got some stuff kicking, you know, out the back end of his career of NASCAR. He's got, you know, IndyCar circled. He's got, you know, some ISMA stuff circled. He wants to do some sports car racing and stuff like that, by all accounts, throughout the garage. And man, with this COVID deal, not having any fans there, you know, to send Jimmy off, and are, you know, with everything going on, just a really, really obscure way to send a 7-time champion off. And, you know, hopefully by the end of the season, we're seeing, you know, fans back in the grandstands in a normal capacity, and we're able to see, you know, Jimmy get sent off the right way. But look back at the big champions that have left the sport.
Yeah.
You know, the Jeff Gordons of the world, and really not a champion, but a champion of the people, I guess, Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, leaving the sport or leaving the
driver's seat. Yeah.
And the way that they were able to send these guys off send them off from their career, their amazing careers.
Put a cherry on top. Yeah.
And Jimmy Johnson has got to stay 6 feet apart from everybody, and he's got to wear a mask, and he's not allowed to do nothing. So.
Maybe he'll prolong his retirement for one more year if this stuff continues.
No? Can't see it.
No.
And he's been very vocal about that already.
You know,
there was a NASCAR teleconference it was not last week, the week before, and I actually heard the clips on NASCAR Sirius XM radio, and him talking about the new aero screen, obviously the new aero screen in the IndyCar, it makes it very enticing for guys to jump into IndyCars now because they're a tremendous amount safer. Just the way the new technology is working on the IndyCar side, I wouldn't doubt that you see Jimmy Johnson in an Indy 500 start or in not a full-time capacity in IndyCar, but in a handful of races.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool to see. He's done with his NASCAR stuff. What else can the guy accomplish?
You know,
obviously he wants an eighth championship, but it's not like he is... Anything that he does from here on out is just bonus, right? It's just gravy. He's been there, done that, and now looking for a new challenge. It's so grueling at that level of the sport. Obviously, I've never worked with a powerhouse team, right? I've never seen the inner workings of what those guys have to deal with. But just looking from the outside, you know, knowing what those teams go through, what those drivers go through.
Yeah.
They're working 24/7. And as much as it looks like they show up on a Thursday afternoon and they do practice and they do the qualifying and then they do the race, that's not their career. Their career is Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And then at the racetrack, they're busier than everybody else at the facility, doing appearances and doing everything. They're pulled in so many different directions. And obviously they're compensated for that. They make a lot of money, but you know, when you look at the level in which it takes to be that competitive.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it.
Oh man. I look back on just seeing what Michael McDowell would do and what Landon Cassill would do, through the week.
Mm.
And it's not just go to a competition meeting and then go hang out with everybody.
Yeah. And they're not in the shop all the time, right?
They're not, they're hardly ever at the shop at that level. They're
in the gym a ton.
They're in the gym a ton. They're studying. The engineers are constantly giving these guys new ideas in how to drive these race cars, and the crew chief and the engineering department is constantly working on new ways to maximize the speed of race cars with the input of the driver. So constantly, they are, you know, every single day of the week, they are looking for ways to make their car go faster. And every crew member is the same way. Every part and piece on the race team is the same way. And when you compete at the level of Jimmy Johnson or Kevin Harvick or, you know, any of those guys that are at the top tier of the sport, the amount of focus and emphasis that goes into maximizing everything. Every millimeter of the racetrack, of the car, of the personal fitness, of everything is under a microscope at all times. And Jimmy Johnson's, he's done with it. He's 100%. You can just tell. I really hope that we get to see him in victory lane, and hopefully the sport can send him off the right way.
How about the run Matt DiBenedetto had? Great he run. Ended up third today.
Fast.
What an incredible run for the 21. He's got the potential. I really, really believe we're going to see Matt hit victory lane one of these days soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at a Wood Brothers car, that Wood Brothers car is 100% a Penske car owned by the Wood Brothers.
Yeah.
There's no differences. They're built side by side with Brad Keselowski's, Joey Logano's, and Ryan Blaney's cars. They're even decaled at the shop, down to every fine detail. When that car is complete, it is rolling out the back door of Penske's shop. And really, the speed in which the Wood Brothers have right now is equal to that of what Penske has. And Matt DiBenedetto is no slouch.
He is not only a good guy, but he's a hell of a wheelman.
Oh, he's a great wheelman. And, you know, at the beginning of his career through the sport, he had opportunities in the Xfinity Series or the Busch Series back then, or not the Busch Series, the Nationwide Series. He had some opportunities with Joe Gibbs Racing and was in some really good equipment.
One-offs,
or not necessarily one-offs, but you know, not full-time capacity.
Yeah.
In really good equipment, had great opportunities. Then after that, he spent quite a few years in low buck equipment and the underfunded teams of NASCAR.
Quick way to kill your career.
Quick way to kill your career, but it proves that you can, if you remain in the sport and overachieve, you're going to get opportunities. And a guy that you can point a finger at kind of paving the way for this model is Michael Waltrip, right? He lived in the sport for a tremendous amount of time, just scraping by.
Right. Then
just
Dale
struggling,
came along.
Struggling to get by and really finally getting into a piece of equipment that is capable of winning and turning heads. Matt DiBenedetto had that opportunity last year with LFR and really capitalized on it. He had some great runs and had some head-turning, outings. Obviously, Christopher Bell jumping in, and it was really uncertain where Matt DiBenedetto was going to end up. This is the best-case scenario for him.
Yeah, I'd say.
Jumping into the Wood Brothers 21 under the new charter model, you know, the Wood Brothers really, for a full-time capacity,
right,
they've only spent a handful of years full-time in Cup, really, in general. They, for a long period of time, even through the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, ran part-time.
Right.
And
hit and miss.
And
yeah.
They would run the big shows, the high-dollar NASCAR shows. Obviously the Wood Brothers is a staple in NASCAR.
Sure.
They're by no way just a part-time fly-by-night team.
They're
the cornerstone of the sport right now. Really, since the charter system came in, they went through a long hiatus there where they were part-time for a long period of time. The difference now in seeing what they were able to put together with Ryan Blaney, building up to the point of where Matt DiBenedetto is now, they're basically the fourth Penske car. They have everything under the sun when it comes time for resources, and Matt DiBenedetto is going to end up in victory lane this
year.
Yeah,
really cool. Also, tip of the cap today to the 95 car. Christopher Bell comes home seventh. That's got to be his best finish.
No, his best finish was at Pocono, finishing in the top five.
Did he?
In race number one.
Okay,
Over at Pocono. He's had some good runs this year, but hasn't really had the luck. You know, he's ran into
Michael,
a tremendous amount of bad luck.
Michael McDowell was right up there,
yeah.
And then he got all shifted up in that final restart. He ended up going back to 24th, but but McD was looking good.
Yeah, he was. You know, fresh off of a top 10 at Indianapolis for the Brickyard, and definitely had some high hopes rolling into this weekend at Kentucky. But really, a mile and a half with a small team like Furniture Row, 24th is basically where he should be. You know, like
yeah.
that's where the Furniture Row team. You know, that's a decent day for Furniture Row at a mile and a half track. Where you're going to see McDowell really, you know, turn the corner here is I cannot wait to see McDowell race at the Daytona Road Course.
Yeah, they launched, that's going to be cool.
They launched the new schedule, earlier on this past week of what we have to look forward to. And obviously the drop of Watkins Glen, some different schedule changes here and there throughout, like sprinkled throughout the season. Them heading to Daytona on the road course for the first time with the Cup Series is going to be epic.
Yeah.
And you know, I've watched a lot of road course racing at Daytona with the Rolex series, obviously, and you know, with the Rolex 24. McDowell is a monster when it comes time for high speed
yes.
road courses.
Yep. And he loves that place.
Loves that place. And
yep.
and really it doesn't suit his driving style at necessarily Sonoma or at Charlotte at the Roval. Watkins Glen, every time McDowell straps in at Watkins Glen, he's a threat for a top
yep,
five.
Yep, yep.
He could be driving a wheelbarrow,
yep.
and he'd be right up there. At Daytona, everything screams Michael McDowell to
yep.
me with that road course.
Yeah.
If Front Row Racing can get their, you know, their motor program, their transmission program.
Put a lot of effort into that race.
Into that race.
Yep.
I guarantee you right now they're putting a tremendous amount of effort into that race. And I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day, as good as Chase Elliott is on road courses now, obviously we've seen him go out there and get some amazing results over the past couple of years at Watkins Glen and basically every road course that they go to.
Yeah.
Chase Elliott's been a contender to win. Martin Truex is another one.
Yeah.
But I would put Michael McDowell in that group all day long at Daytona.
Isn't that cool? Can't wait for that race to come up. Let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. The ARCA, presented by Menard Series, was also at Kentucky. It was Ty Gibbs going to Victory Lane. We got a clip with Ty Gibbs. Couldn't join us, but we do have the second place finisher. We got Brett Holmes going to join us live tonight on the radio show. And we're going to talk about that race. We'll talk about the season that Brett's had so far. And I'll tell you what, they've turned a corner this year. Those guys looking incredibly strong. Career best finish so far for Brett Holmes. He comes home second in the race. We'll talk to him live tonight on the show. We'll also catch up with an East Coast veteran. This guy not only drives the wheels off a race car, he's a multi-time champion out on Canada's East Coast in New Brunswick. He's also a premier builder when we're talking late models on anywhere in Canada, really. Lonnie Somerville is going to join the show. It's been way too long since we've had Lonnie on here. We got him on tonight. We'll also hear clips with Austin Cendric. Austin goes back-to-back in the Xfinity Series. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from first-time truck winner Sheldon Creed from GMS. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from the second-place finisher as well, Ben Rhodes. He had a really good run going. So did Matt Crafton. We got lots of stuff to cover off tonight. We're just getting started. We're going to hit the first break. When we come back, we'll hear some of these clips. We'll hear from some of the guys that went to Victory Lane at Kentucky Speedway. Stay right there. Racetime Radio's just getting fired up.
Hello, race fans. I'm Justin Holton from the number 17 Top Hat for the ACT Series, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. Yeah, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass, there's a real
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Maybe you're tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Hello and welcome. We will be back on a live basis. We planned on doing that this week, but we still haven't got an op in this Toronto studio. That is being worked on, and we should be live again next week. But have no fear, you're going to get the whole show. If you're listening right now, you're just a little bit delayed a few days. And then starting next weekend, we'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks live like we like it. But it's been a long stretch, right? This COVID thing has really upset absolutely every facet of everyone's life. Or maybe you've tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. We want to say hello to you. That airs Racetime Radio a few times throughout the course of the week, and we thank them so much. Or Gearhead Country Radio or 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Absolutely hello to all of you. If you haven't got a chance to listen on any of those outlets, you want to listen on your time, just get to racetimeradio.com, click on the show and have a listen, or go to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. I guarantee you're going to find us right there. Hit like, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. And that's the way we like it. Junior, I want to touch on this. Bubba Pollard wins again this weekend. Man, that guy's unstoppable.
Yeah, he is. The Southern Tour, the Southern Super Late Model Tour, went to Victory Lane down there. He's banging on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, I'd say.
He is, you know, he's he's the man when it comes time for super late model racing. Whether it be pro late model or super late model, every time that he straps in, he's a threat to win. Now, I will say this about that. He didn't win at Slinger. Struggled the entire deal. Obviously ran competitive. It wasn't like he was off the pace at all. But Ty Majeski won at the Slinger Nationals, which is a huge marquee event.
Sure it is.
You know, massive event down there. Bubba Pollard, when they get it dialed in right, it's untouchable.
He's strong at Jennerstown. And to see how strong he was there, you kind of figure, like, we've seen Bubba run numerous times, and he is always strong in that car. But to see him come out of Jennerstown, kind of thought he was going to be in to put a stretch together.
Yeah.
And he's going to be.
You know, when you look at Jennerstown and Jukasa, obviously we've seen Bubba Pollard come up here and spank the Canadian contingent in the
twice.
In the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Both events, you know, won handily by him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this year was a little bit more competitive than the first year for, you know, our guys, and as well with Eddie McDonald, you know, with J.R. Fitzpatrick and Matt Pertigo. They give him a run for his money, but he still, you know, won hand over fist. It wasn't, you know, they didn't necessarily have him covered at the end.
Right.
He was wide open.
Last 20 to go. Look out.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, he knows.
He's got another gear in that car.
Yeah.
Or that foot.
When you look at Kyle Busch or a driver like that, when they spend so much time in a car, they find what they want for the race.
Right.
I never see Bubba Pollard go out there and set the world on fire in practice.
Or qualifying. No.
Especially in an impound race. And really, in an impound race, if you get the pole, your car is not going to hold on.
No.
And it's almost a disadvantage when you look at a guy that goes out and gets the pole or qualifies in the top three spots at a big marquee event. I'm going to use a name here, for example.
Yeah.
Cole Butcher.
Yes.
Goes to the big races.
Yeah.
The All-American 400, the Nashville, the 400 down there.
Yeah.
The Winchester 400.
Yeah.
The Snowball Derby. Those guys there, they qualify right up front.
Yeah.
And they end up, mid-pack, if they can execute, maybe in the top 10, but they never have the speed at the end. A good handling car, a good driving car that maintains and doesn't fall off over a 10-lap, 20-lap, 30-lap, 40-lap stretch is a car that ends up in victory lane. And two guys that you know, you can draw a direct line to are Steven Nassi and Bubba Pollard. They're able to make their car do things in practice and get that feel for it in the car. When the race time comes around, they can execute. They can use exactly what the car has without hurting the car,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to back it off, you know, ride when they can.
Save,
and just be there at the end, be lights out fast at the end. And really, I watched the Jennerstown race, as did you. Bubba Pollard didn't lay down his fast time until, it was like 18 laps to go. It was 18 laps to go, and there was a restart, and Bubba Pollard turned his fastest lap of the race.
Yeah.
Guys like that can win these super late model shows, they don't back their way into it.
No.
And they are equally, if not, you know, they're equally as talented, they're equally as smart as the front half of the Cup Series, the front half of the Xfinity Series, the front half of the Truck Series,
mm-hmm.
and they have the resources that are the top level of what the sport is, or not what the sport, what the class that they're in has.
Yeah.
So when you look at Bubba Pollard and you know, he goes on a stretch, I wouldn't doubt that he wins, 10 races over the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He's just so good at it.
That's his job.
But yet that same guy will struggle day in and day out at the Snowball Derby. and not be able to bring home the checkered flag yet.
Well, no different than watching Dale Sr. trying to win the Daytona 500,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
When are you going to win the 500? When are you going to win it? When are you going to win it?
Yeah.
It took him forever to win it.
Isn't it interesting, though?
And then he won it.
Isn't it interesting to see a guy like that struggle so long? Like, who's a guy in the Maritimes that hasn't won the IWK 250 that needs to?
Oh, ooh, there's a question.
But it's interesting. Like, yeah. Like, every class has got one of those guys. And
I can tell you, Donald Chisholm has raced over 50 races at Scotia Speed World. Mm-hmm. Including all your Cat 250s, like the Nova Truck Center's 150, all of those different races, never won a race at Scotia Speed World.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
Well, no, it's just
he's
that
never
way.
Won there.
You know, when you look,
the guy's
at
a past champion. He's won all kinds of races at all the other racetracks, but pull him into Scotia Speed World, and there is something. I don't know what it is.
And it's
there's
not that he's not fast there.
Oh, no, the guy's lights out fast there.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good. Just can't,
and they're just
can't
missing,
close the deal.
They're just missing one thing, you know, and it might be, it's always something different.
Yep.
Whether it be feel, whether it be luck, whether it be, a bad tire, whether it be, you know, too aggressive on cambers or something. There's always something. And I, to be honest with you, I like those storylines in racing. That's one of the things that draw people in to becoming race fans.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A guy like Bubba Pollard is so good. He's such a fan favorite. Nobody can say a bad word about him other than his competitors,
right?
Because he races them too aggressive.
Steven Nassi and him,
or doesn't?
Yeah, Steven Nassi and him. I don't know whether they.
Well, they don't like each other.
No,
because
they try and beat each other all the time.
When you're racing at that level, you can't be friends, best friends with a guy.
No.
They respect each other, though.
Sure, they do.
And
tons.
And you know, it's just that way. When you watch a guy like Bubba Pollard go on a stretch and he clicks off a bunch of wins. Their team just has such momentum. I watched them at Jukasa Speedway last year put on a clinic, and I've only seen two guys do this before. Kyle Busch Motorsport, or Kyle Busch at Delaware Speedway. When he raced for Steve Robley at Delaware.
Yeah.
He raced the 51 car, which was the 28 of Steve Robley's car. He would roll out on the back, or he would roll out, you know, off of turn two, go down the back straightaway, go in through 3 and 4, go down the front straightaway super hard, go into 1 and 2 super hard, and then shut her down the backstretch, roll it in, and make adjustments to the car. He could feel what the car was doing in that short of span of time.
Yeah.
And I've only seen one other guy do that, and that's Bubba Pollard. He did it last year at Jukasa. Every practice session, he did the exact same thing. And, you know, you've got to be so good and so in tune with your equipment in order to do that. And you have to be so confident in what you're feeling in order to make that approach work. But it does come down to how many adjustments you can make in a practice session.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, ultimately, every one of those nuts and bolts that move up or down, or parts that move up or down on a super late model, if you're not maximizing every stretch, every one of those parts,
you're right.
You're not winning the race, and you're not even competitive. And you need to control every single variable. And you know, a guy like Bubba Pollard has got everything tuned to the max, and he doesn't overtune. You know, I've seen more guys come in and put 10 rounds up on the track bar and change the left front spring and change
themselves
the sway
the
bar when they're 2/10 off. And after all their adjustments, they might be 5/10 off, you know, when the start of the race comes around. And, that happens more often than the guy who can figure it out and fine tune it and just make incremental adjustments.
Yeah, little changes.
And find the sweet spot. And that's what a guy like Bubba Pollard does. And that's why he wins races.
Look at this. Mike Hriniak. You know Mike. He just sent a tweet out. Copied us in it. 5 races at Kentucky Speedway. Winners ages. How about this? 22 years old, 22 years old, 22 years old, 21 and 17. Those are your winners from this weekend.
Ty Gibbs.
Yeah. How about that? Isn't that wild? And that is a NASCAR fact.
Yeah.
That
I mean, when you look
Mikey has pulled out. That's pretty cool.
When you look at the age groups, you know, the young guys, it's been getting progressively younger. And I see that number. You know, I don't see it going super, like, much younger than that in the Cup Series or the Truck Series, for that matter, on a consistent level. I don't see it going or trending much younger than that.
Cole must be the 21-year-old, right?
Yeah. But when you look at you know, all these series, and, you know, it was funny. I was talking to a guy just the other day about the junior late model division. Remember, I drove junior late models with J.R. Fitzpatrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Kamrath and all those guys. They were junior late models. They were a go-kart.
Yep.
They were a go-kart with a roll cage. Now a junior late model is a straight rail 602 car with coilovers.
Yeah.
And they're racing against other full-blown late models.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, between 12 and 16 years old.
Yeah, seen those on...
well, they race them in, like, the CRA.
The CRA
series has got their own version. And
they're full-size cars.
Yeah,
Called Junior Late Model.
Madera Speedway and the racers out on the West Coast, they race at tracks like Kern County and Madera and Tucson and, you know, all those tracks on the western side. It's so interesting to me to see that progression because, you know, I think back to you. Ryan Conium is a big name in the sport.
Sure.
Massive name in the sport.
Yep.
You own Sauble Speedway, you know, and I remember him, you know, not being allowed to race an All-Pro Modified at, what was that, 14?
No. Well, it wasn't that he wasn't allowed. His dad, Warren, bought him. I want to say
modified.
It was Pete Walker's All-Pro Modified.
Yep.
And Warren called me back when I had Sauble. He said, I bought my son a junior, or pardon me, not a junior late, but an All-Pro. Yep. And I want him to run at the beach.
Yep.
And I said, oh, hey, that's great. I didn't know how old Ryan was at the time, but he was a young guy. And Warren said, look, he is kind of young. And I said, oh, that's right, too. Yeah. How old is Ryan? And at that time, I don't know whether he's 13 or 14.
I think he was 14.
Wow. Yeah, that is kind of young. I said, tell you what, Warren, you feel comfortable enough, super modified driver, he knows what his son can do and what he can't. I said, you feel comfortable enough, but I'd really like to see him wheel the car before I say yes for Sauble.
Yeah.
And he goes, perfect. We'll come up. We'll test. You'll get a chance to have a look at Ryan and tell me what you think. And tell you what, they came into the pits. Here's little Ryan. He jumped into that car. And could he drive the wheels off that thing? And I might add, those were the very first laps that Ryan Conium ever sat in that car.
In a race car.
So to sit back and watch him, I had my decision made within about 20 laps.
Yeah.
Watching him, he could hold the line. He was fast. He wasn't stuttering. He wasn't getting loose coming out. He wasn't pushing. Didn't overdrive the car. All of the things that you want to see a driver do.
Yeah.
Was he lights out fast? No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
But he was well in control. And that car would have hit minimum speed, no problem.
Yeah.
And, they spent the rest of the day testing. I said, absolutely, can't wait to see him run. And he went out there on the racetrack the next Saturday night against guys like Rick Wallner. Ricky's no longer with us, thinking of you, buddy. Rick Wallner, tough, tough competitor. Andy Lang.
Rob Purcell.
Oh, yeah. All the heavy hitters. And he went out there and raced with those guys. And I can remember asking some of the competitors afterwards, what did you think of that Conium kid? Man, can he ever wheel it? And every single one of them said, I can't believe that kid.
Yeah.
He's not like running with with another kid.
Yeah.
He was like running with a veteran.
But think about that.
And he did win his first race that year.
Put that into context.
Yeah.
He was 14.
Yeah.
These kids are 12 now running a late model.
I know. Isn't it nuts?
And like, it's, it's mind-blowing to a certain degree. And, you know, you look at some of the big events, like, and I'm going to, you know, throw out a couple. Well, Jake Garcia, you know, he's just a young kid. He's 15 years old.
Jake is,
And running, you know, right up front in the Snowball Derby, running right up front in all the big shows.
He's got
whether it.
Be.
But you know, you look at that age trending downward, I'm not surprised to see the 22s and the 21s at the top level of the sport. Because by that time, they've already got 10 years put in at their local short track,
you know.
And on the dirt side is no different. You're seeing young kids in these sprint cars.
Yep.
You're seeing young kids in dirt late models, UMP modifieds. It's definitely really interesting. And I actually love the model of junior late model. And why I brought that up is because I love that model of having age brackets at the local Saturday night shows. Just because that allows those guys to not jump into the deep end right out of the gate.
Right.
And that allows them to find good practices right out of the gate.
Mm.
You know, and not harm other guys in the process. But also when they're ready, I don't care if they're 14 and they're ready.
Right.
Jump into the deep end and see what it's all about.
Let's see what you got. Speaking of the deep end, how about it? Ty Gibbs wins the ARCA presented by Menards General Tire 150 at Kentucky. Here's a quick clip with him after the big win.
It was a fun time. You know, I really trained hard for this race because it's going to be a little warm. So I always train hard for all my races. So it wasn't that big of a deal. It got warm and kind of cool off halfway through the race, but you know, it was a fun time. I got put up to a challenge there and somehow I came out with the victory. So it was a blast, and I can't thank everybody enough. Monster Energy, Terrible Herps, Toyota, everybody that helps me get through this deal, my team, JGR, that's my family. So I can't thank them enough.
Yeah, good for young Ty. That's his second win in like a month. So he's coming along. That 18 car, of course, good equipment. Good little driver, though. You got to point it. You got to be there to do it. Ty getting the job done. Let's have a look through some of the results here. Brett Holmes finished second. We're going to hear from Brett just on the other side of the break here. Sam Mayer finishes up in the fourth spot. It was Michael Self in third. Drew Dollar in fifth. Ryan Repko ended up finishing the race in sixth spot. Derek Griffin in seventh. Ryan Huff in eighth, and Tanner Gray finished ninth. Jason Kratzmeier ended up in the 10th. So that's your top 10 cars. Good run for those guys. And it sounds like it was quite a restart to the dash for the end. Ty ended up winning it, but Brett Holmes did lead a lot of that race, and we're going to talk to Brett on the other side of the break. We'll hit this break, and then what do you say we get Brett on the horn, and we'll talk about it. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay here on Racetime Radio.
Hey, Rick Rim, you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. It's been a little while since we had our next guest on the hotline. You got to look back to last year, but he had some record runs last year. And just the other night, Brett Holmes in that number 23 had a career best finish at Kentucky Speedway. Rolls her home in second spot, damn near won this one, and led a bunch throughout the course of the night. He joins us now on the hotline, Mr. Brett Holmes. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Gotta apologize. I was supposed to give you a heads up again that we were going to call you, and I forgot to do that.
Oh, no, that's no problem at all. You're good.
That's two guests in 2 weeks.
Well, I'm telling
you. You're supposed to remind these guys, and you just don't do that.
Well, I forgot. I forgot again. But
when you forget a reminder, that's a bad thing.
I know. Well, hey, that's what happens when you get gray hair like I've got. It happens.
It's called sometimers, not all-timers.
Sometimers, you want to believe it. Brett, a great race for you. I know it had to be bittersweet. You ended up with a good second-place finish. But, man, you almost had that one in the bag.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was really close. It's probably the best race we've put together from start to finish. You know, normally races that have we finished well, we started a little bit further back than we like to, but that race, we stayed in the top three the whole day and, you know, grabbed the lead there kind of in the middle to the later part of the race. And when Ty and Michael Self got together and held on to it for a while, but, you know, in that last restart, Ty got under me and got into me a little bit to take it. And, you know, that was kind of the difference there is, you know, I think he fired off a little bit better than us a couple laps after a restart. But after that, we stayed about even with him. So it's tough, you know, when one slips away like that. But, you know, on the bright side, that was their best finish, and we're knocking on the door of a win.
Yeah, you sure are. And I'll tell you what, you got to put that one in the back of the memory bank and just remember how guys race you. And as long as you know that everything's square, right, they should remember.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said after the race, too, is, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, whine about anything that happened or how he raced me. You know, it's got to be taken the same way I took it when I do it back. And, you know, definitely wanted to say that that's probably going to happen if I get in that position. And I was hoping that we'd get another restart there at the end I'd have another shot to do that. But, you know, it's hard racing. And part of that, you know, is the track we're running to. You know, Kentucky for the past couple of days have been, you know, pretty tight racing through all the series. And, you know, it's everybody's fighting for the main lane. And, you know, to do that, you got to get into people sometimes, but, you know, you got to put in the memory bank and remember it in the future races.
Exactly, and it's not payback. Let's not look at it as payback to any of the listeners out there.
That's exactly what it is.
No, it's called hard racing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've seen guys like, and I'm going to point at Alex Tagliani here. Alex Tagliani jumps up into the Xfinity Series, is in Penske's equipment, got a good car, road course, tags as an accomplished guy, out leading the race, and I personally can't remember who it was that got into him, but they, I just about had it too, got into him and shoved him under the way.
Yeah.
And I know listening to tags after that race was over, he ended up finishing that race second.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, well, he was satisfied, I guess you could say, with the second, but he wasn't. He had the win. He worked hard enough for the win. And the guy shoved him out of the way. So Tagliani said, coming out of IndyCar, he wasn't used to that style of racing because in IndyCar, you don't just slam the guy out of the way and get away with it. But in NASCAR Xfinity on the final lap, on the final turn, and you're at a road course, guess what? There's going to be contact. So as long as you know that, and I remember Tag saying, I can't forget this. I got to remember it. Because that's the way it races, and that's the way you race in NASCAR.
Absolutely.
That's the way it happens. And, Brett, it was a learned time. You got a career best second finish out of it. And your team has really turned the corner this year. You've got a real good string of finishes in the last few races. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. And, I think our team is a lot different from the other ones that have been, main staples in the series. I started in ARCA in about 2016 and 2017, and coming from late models, and we've always kind of just ran our own equipment and started our own teams through the different divisions of racing we've ran, and it's been tough really at this level of racing. It's definitely an eye opener compared to the late model and short track world, and I think that's why it took us a couple years to get where the point we're at now. I mean, we felt like equipment wise we were lacking. We felt like some and people wise we were lacking a little bit too. And we just took a step back and realized the changes we needed to make and did that. And it's really really put us up there with the big guys. And it is a really cool thing to think about and say that this team that started out of Munford, Alabama, is competing with Joe Gibbs Racing. And who's fielding an ARCA car. So that's a really prideful thing for me to think about. But at the same time, with this finish, it just makes me want to work harder and beat those guys. We've got a lot more to prove, and we've got a lot left in the tank, I think.
Brett, a big comparison that I can see from the outside looking in is you to a guy like Austin Hill. Do you look at his progression through the sport as kind of your ideal trajectory as well within the sport, or do you guys continue to operate your own team? Obviously this is a business question, but it says, Brett Holmes Racing right on the door. Does it look like a model where you race with your equipment for the first little bit and then eventually progress to partnering with another team, or what does that look like into the future for Brett Holmes?
I don't know. A lot of that's up in the air, and I think right now we're really just focused on ARCA.
Yep.
I'd love to give you a straightforward answer, and I'd love to be able to tell you, we'd be able to do something like that, but that's a big deal. That's a big step, and a lot of people don't realize, what it takes to do that. And, I think we've got the people on our team that are capable to go to the Truck Series, and that would, of course, be the next step after ARCA for me, and that's kind of what we'd want to do. But, it's there's a lot of moving parts and pieces in racing, and it's not just as easy as a simple whatever we want to do. But for right now, we're focused on ARCA and focused on trying to win races here and possibly a championship. And that is the goal. That's something I've always dreamed about, is to make it in one of the top three series in NASCAR. And I definitely have my eyes set on that one day, and what we're working towards now. But it would be a huge leap for us, and a really cool thing to be able to do if we could progress to that point and get our team to the point where we could be able to run in the truck series.
Well, if anybody can do it, Brett Holmes, you're the man. I'm telling you, it's coming along fantastic. What's the next race you got circled on your calendar where you're going to go out there and potentially go to Victory Lane? Which one you got? Which track can't you wait to get back to?
Well, I really can't wait to get to the next couple we've got going on right now. I mean, we go to Iowa next weekend and then Kansas. I'm really looking forward to those two. I think we've brought a really good intermediate car to the past few races, and that's what we've been really close to winning with. So I think we've got a good shot at those two. Last year at Iowa, we after our first run in practice, we went first atop the leaderboard, and our second run our oil line came loose and killed our car. So we had to get our backup car for that race last year. So, that was a disappointing time. But I think, we didn't really get to show what we could do at that track. And I think we're capable of doing just as well as we did this past weekend, and the same at Kansas. So, we've put a really good string of good runs together lately. And we keep up that momentum, and we'll make up some points and hopefully get some wins too.
I guarantee you, we're going to party one night here on Racetime Radio with you as an ARCA Menards Series winner. I can guarantee you, it's just right around the corner. And the quarter panels on that car got to start filling up with the results that you guys have been having. How's that coming along?
Yeah, I mean, that's, sponsorship stuff is, constantly a work in progress. And I think we are getting a little bit more attention from our good finishes recently, and that's definitely always helpful. But that's what this sport, that's what it requires. To sustain at this level of racing, you gotta have that. So it has been tough for us the past this past year or two to keep up what we're doing. We're really we've been working hard here at home with the construction company, and I work, that's what I do through the week as a field superintendent for the construction company. So I promise you, I've been working my butt off to be able to keep doing this on the weekend. And we've even started a couple new businesses to help out to do this. So definitely working on getting some sponsorship help. And like I said, I think, us running up there with the big dogs now, I think it'll make that a little bit easier, but, it's always a work in progress.
Well, you keep your nose to the grindstone, because, man, I'll tell you what, the results are showing. You're awesome to watch on that racetrack and a threat to win, and that's the coolest part about it. Brett, we can't thank you enough for your time tonight on Race Time, and I know we look forward. We've got your spot open here, brother. You get out there, have a great race, and we're going to get you back on this show. Sound good?
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me. Thank you.
You betcha. That's Brett Holmes, driver of the number 23 in the ARCA presented by Menards Series. He's coming, Junior. You got to watch him.
I don't think it's the ARCA presented by Menards anymore. I think it's just ARCA Menards.
ARCA Menards Series.
That's just like calling it the Busch Series. Yeah. If you say they're presented in there.
Old habits are hard to break.
Up next is Grant Enfinger from the Craftsman Truck Series.
I'm going to kick you.
I'm just kidding around.
I know you are. We have got a news update to do for everybody tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167. For all of you listening on racetimeradio.com, you'll hear something a little bit different, but we are going to throw it back to Toronto. get you up to date on some of the news you may have missed over this first hour. And then hour two will begin tonight. We got Lonnie Somerville coming up. You're going to hear from, how about a first-time truck winner? We got Sheldon Creed. You're going to hear from Austin Sendrick. We got lots more still to come at you. So don't you go anywhere. Racetime Radio will be back in about 90 seconds. Stay right there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. With the two Joes here on Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Racetime Radio. We've got Lonnie Somerville coming up in just a bit. Speedway 660 did get their season opener in today, Junior, in New Brunswick, and it was Ashton Tucker going to victory lane. So the number two car got out there and got his first win of the season. We'll talk to Lonnie. He wasn't in the race. He was up on top of the box for somebody. Don't know exactly who, but we'll find out. Lonnie had committed to helping the guy out. And then, of course, this race came up and it was a 100-lapper. He wanted to race, but he was already committed. So Lonnie doing the thing that he had to do, because he's not only a driver, he's also a builder. And I know he's working on a brand new car for himself. Mm-hmm. So you gotta do what you gotta do, right? You gotta stay busy, and that's definitely what he is all about.
And how about the run Ashton Tucker is having?
Yeah, no
kidding. You know, picked up the second place. Obviously, didn't get the win over at Petty, but
second over there.
Second
you're
over
right.
there. P1 this weekend in the big 100-lapper. He's banging on all cylinders right now.
And they were a little low on cars, but you got to know that today was a rain. Like, it was rain day. It was supposed to go Saturday, so exactly. I can imagine they would have had a pile more cars had the race gone when it was supposed to.
How many cars?
I think they had 11 late models. Ooh. 11 late models. So, well, you know, but you got to know that, you know, a lot of those guys would have been coming from other province. Mm-hmm. So it makes it kind of tough when you get a rain day wedged in there.
Yep.
And I don't believe, I think I've seen some pictures that Tim Terry had out there of practice. And it was by no means was it a sunny day in New Brunswick. So guys probably looking at the forecast going, Sunday, do I go? Do I stay? It's probably going to rain. I just stay.
Yeah.
So that's what happens on a rain date. Nobody ever wins on a rain date. Ever notice that? Like even NASCAR. NASCAR gets flooded out. They go the next day and you get half the people if you're lucky. No one wins.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They need to come up with an indoor track. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, if they were all micro sprints.
Yeah, no kidding. If it was the Tulsa Chili Bowl, we'd be all right.
Yeah, you'd be all set.
Hey, a little bit of housekeeping. I've got to wish Ryan Verburn a big happy birthday. Rick Verburn's son.
Oh,
Big fan, but I got to wish him a big happy birthday.
Good.
He's a diehard racer. He's going to take over daddy's seat one day.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, I wonder if you'll be spotting for him.
I hope so.
Well, I don't know.
And I hope he pays better than his old man does.
By then, you'll be my age, and you'll be forgetting that you even spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll need glasses by then.
I don't wear glasses.
No, I know, but I would.
The only part of me that's still good is my eyes.
That's right.
The rest of it's shot.
Big happy birthday to him.
Yeah,
that's
good stuff.
Enjoy the day.
Yeah. What was that? Last week it was DJ Kennington's wife's birthday.
Yes.
That was Jamie. Through the week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, lots of fun stuff.
Well, the starter from Sauble Speedway,
yep.
Rob Kosher, it's his birthday. Dave Gainforth from Oscar, it was his birthday. I don't know whether it's today or yesterday.
Man.
But yeah, a lot of guys celebrating birthdays. That's the cool part about Facebook. You don't really, you don't miss anybody's birthday if you check your phone every day.
Yeah.
Because it reminds you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
something 100%. Like I didn't do for poor Brett. I didn't remind him. And you got to do that every now and then.
I wonder if anybody actually remembers birthdays anymore, if it's just Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, if my mom was still around, she'd remember.
I'm terrible with dates.
Yes. Well, it's my anniversary, mine and Sue's anniversary, coming up on Friday.
Yes.
Yes. 39 years we've been married. That's a long time, buddy.
That is.
39 years.
That's a very long time.
But it feels like that. It doesn't feel like 39 years.
No.
No.
Nope.
There's a couple of heartbreakers, too, that I want to talk about.
Yep.
One, CTMP, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, pulled the plug on the 2020 season. So all of us had our fingers crossed that we were going to get, some racing in this summer,
yeah,
including the iconic 250, the Chevrolet Silverado 250,
yeah,
the Truck Series race. We're really hoping that was going to happen, but it's not going to. Everything got pushed to 2021. The other thing that we're still hopeful of, but definitely a heartbreaker, next weekend would have been the IWK 250 at Riverside.
Yeah.
Would have been, but I know right now it's not going to happen next weekend.
No, postponed, right?
Is it going to happen in 2020? Our fingers are still crossed. The Speedway is still hoping that it's going to happen later in the summer.
Yeah.
So here is hoping.
Yeah,
that's all we can do at this point is hope.
Yeah.
Hope that it's going to happen.
I mean, we're seeing provinces now in Ontario kind of phase into phase three, if you will.
But still, phase three.
I know, you're only allowed 50 people.
You can't do it.
And you definitely can't have racing as normal.
No. But
once you get to phase three, it is supposed to expedite.
It's supposed to expedite very quickly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a lot quicker to get from complete quarantine to phase one to get from phase three to phase four. That should be a lot quicker of a turnaround. So, I mean, if all things point to, good, then, I mean, it shouldn't be that long until we see full grandstands or decent grandstands with certain capacity restrictions by, August and into September. If we can see that, that would be amazing.
And that fits some tracks.
But I think the next thing that we're going to hear, and I don't know for sure, obviously, and nobody really does, but there's a lot of speculation on two really big events here in Ontario, and that is, of course, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals at Oshkosh, a staple now every year, a massive event. Difficult because a lot of the competitors that come across the border to race that.
Yeah.
I don't foresee. I see us getting out of phase four before the border opens right now, the way that everything looks.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though we go
phase three or four or what have you,
yeah,
that border is still going to be close.
I know.
I believe.
It's a crazy deal. But you look at the Canadian Short Track Nationals at UCASA,
right?
And those are two events there that are still up in the air right now. There haven't been a formal release, just like the IWK 250 has been postponed but not canceled,
right?
Where the truck race is in fact canceled, the Toronto Indy
in
is in fact canceled.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with both UCASA and then as well the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Also, we don't talk about F1 a whole lot in this show, but that race has been moved to the Thanksgiving long weekend.
That's right.
In Quebec.
The Montreal race, yeah.
You know, as it sits right now, that's the way, that's when it will be.
Right.
Whether that is the way that it will turn out, we don't know. But it's pretty cool that they're already slotted for that weekend.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see, you know, I'm waiting on one of these big events to do that exact same thing. And I was kind of hoping that the truck series was going to do that.
Yeah.
And say the exact same thing for Thanksgiving long weekend, because that's a race weekend that you can race here in Canada.
Sometimes.
You know, it's...
How many times have you seen snow at Peterborough Speedway for Autumn Colors? I've seen snow quite a few times.
Yeah, three.
Now,
three,
I have but, seen it but never accumulate. 70.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've never seen it accumulate. And to be honest with you, I've only been to one Autumn Colors where it was pushed to Monday.
It was always packed.
It's just an opportunity to get in. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always weather delays, it seems, every year. Whether it be the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, or the Sunday, there's always... One of those days is a wash, and it's cold, and it's raining, but there's usually an opportunity to get the event in, or always an opportunity to get the event in over that long weekend, and, you know, I really hope that, I hope to see that, you know, I one of these big events has got to say, you know, that's when they're going to be doing it, because, you know, the first one to jump on it, whether it be Autumn Colors, whether it be the Canadian Short Track Nationals, whether it be whatever, one of these tracks is going to say, hey, that's a good idea. We're going to lock that date in as ours and really take over that weekend.
Well, there's a lot of consideration, though, right? You got to look at not only everything's
right?
fine in Canada,
yeah.
but what is happening with the U.S. guys
yeah.
on our Thanksgiving weekend,
mm-hmm.
not theirs. Theirs is, 2 weeks before Christmas or something.
Yeah.
Ours is in October, so big difference there.
Yeah, we have the real Thanksgiving long weekend.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
American right now is just seething. They're mad.
No, they're not. They're happy. let's talk, or not, we don't have to talk. We're gonna talk about the truck race that was at Kentucky.
Yeah.
First-time winner in Sheldon Creed. GMS got it done. It was rain-shortened.
Yep.
But make no mistake, that two truck was a bullet.
Yep.
It was looking really good.
Sheldon Creed has turned a corner. He's been doing very well the last few weeks.
Always been fast.
Yeah, every time.
Always.
Every time. He's in really good equipment. Obviously hooked up with the right people. GMS is definitely fast. You know, they have been for a number of years in the truck series. It's not it's not new to see a GMS truck in Victory Lane by any stretch of the imagination. But it is cool to see him finally get the victory.
What do you say? We hear from him. Here's what Shelton had to say about the first big win for that number two truck. Here he is.
I mean, honestly, I didn't even think it was going to rain at the beginning. And I even asked if that was an option. I never got told it was going to rain. So just played out the first stage. We were pretty tight. My teammates were pretty good, and clean air was really big. Came to pit and a bunch of people took two, we got four, and I feel like that was huge for us, because people stayed out on old tires and I could really fire off on that. And then we had back-to-back restarts there at the beginning of stage two, and was able to go three wide and then just be really aggressive where I needed to be there at the beginning. And then I was really tight once we got rolling. I was chattering the fronts, but clean air is king in these trucks. So honestly, I think the restarts is what did it for me tonight. I've been trying to be really good at restarts, and I think that just comes from the off-road stuff, just having to be so aggressive in short races. So just hats off to my guys for giving me a truck that I could drive and be aggressive with and make moves that I want to, where we struggled with that at the beginning of the year. So trucks are coming around. GMS Fab Shop's doing awesome, getting trucks back to us, and I feel like we're just picking up momentum, and I think you saw that with all of our trucks tonight. Zane did really good. Brett was good. Tyler was also fast. So just us as an organization, I think we're getting better and better, and we got really good tracks coming up for us.
Yeah, good run for Sheldon. Love watching him in that number two truck. Chevrolet all over it. They do a great job, but make no mistake, Thor Sport was also in this race. And Ben Rhodes, man, I'll tell you what, that guy was real quick in the race. So was Matt Crafton. He ended up finishing third. Grant Enfinger He was going to, if that race would have restarted, it would have been real interesting to see how ThorSport would have shook out by the end of it. But it was Ben Rose in the second spot. Got a quick clip with Benny, too. Here he is.
Yeah, I'm a little bit frustrated that it was shortened. I mean, I feel like we gave it away. We were so fast, faster than Creed, honestly. And he had 10-lap fresher tires than me and my 10 to Ford. So when we got going on that last restart, I gave him a little bit of room going into turn three, thinking he would wash up. And honestly, had I known that would have been the race-winning move, I would have pinned him down and I would have took first away. But I was just trying to be smart. I know what Sheldon's capable of in a race truck and the destruction that can come. So I tried to take care of my truck and keep our F-150 in, you know, good shape, because it was still early in the race. We were only a third of the way through the race. But hindsight 2020, I feel like we gave away the win at my home track. So a little bit mad about that. But, I mean, we had such a fast Ford F-150 once we got clean air. We had to start, you know, shotgun on the field. So second place isn't bad, but just disappointed. I feel like we could have got the win from my hometown tonight.
Yeah, true story, too. I'm sitting down at the lake last night watching the race, had it up on the big screen, sitting there, and going through my phone, watching Twitter and stuff. And Ben Rhodes puts a tweet out that they're taking a break, because it was the end of stage two. Taking a break, going to have a Kit Kat break.
Yep.
Damn, why did he put Kit Kat right there? Sponsored by Kit Kat for the race, I guess. I don't know. But as soon as I seen the word Kit Kat, I went, oh, I'm hungry. I think I better go up, and I think I've got a Kit Kat bar in the drawer. So I ran up to the house, and sure enough, I had a Kit Kat bar. Took a picture of it, threw it on Twitter, and I said, this is your fault, Ben. I am eating a Kit Kat right now. Yeah, no kidding. And there was a couple guys howl on the other end.
Absolutely.
But a good run. Too bad it did rain, because that truck race was fixing to be a smoking end.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny to hear, you know, when a driver says, you know, little jabs. That was a little jab from Ben Rhodes about the destruction that can come. Sheldon Creed did tear up a lot of stuff in the last couple years in the Truck Series. But when you look at it, when you look down the history books in the NASCAR Cup Series, the drivers who have made it have been that way. You're right on the ragged edge in everything. Obviously you need to maintain, you know, your truck and not wreck stuff. But in saying that, learning that, is the first step of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and getting through, you know, the first couple of years of your career without tearing stuff up means that you weren't necessarily right on the edge. It's the rare phenoms that can come in, like the Kyle Larsons, like the Christopher Bells, that come in and are fast without tearing their stuff up.
Yeah.
They obviously, they do very well as well, but, you know, I'd rather have a driver that you got to tone back a little bit.
Yeah.
And a name that, you know, you can balk about this all you want, Ricky Stenhouse. You know, I remember him coming into the Xfinity Series, and he wrecked everything, and he still wrecks a lot of stuff. He's aggressive. He's aggressive on the racetrack.
Good. Yeah.
And he, you know, gets stuff done in situations where he shouldn't get stuff done. And to be honest with you, there's kamikaze race car drivers out there that make this sport exciting.
Yeah.
And, but it's just interesting to hear a guy say a jab like that in an interview.
Yeah.
Sheldon Creed will hear that and that will bug him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it creates those little controversial pieces that, are definitely interesting in the media.
Matt Crafton. He would have, I'm really, if that race would have restarted, Matt Crafton and Junior, I bet you they would have had another checkered flag for hanging on the wall. But Texas is coming up next for these guys. Watch out for the Gander Truck Series. You don't want to miss it. You can catch it in Canada on Channel 336 on Shaw Direct. That's how we get it. And it's FS1 over there. And you don't want to miss it. Oh, top finishing Canadians, our fastest Canadian. When the rain flies, I got to tell you, when the rain flies, Raphael Lessard was in 12th spot and Stu Friesen was back in 15th, but not indicative of the speed of those trucks. just where they shook out at the end of stage two.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to hit another break. When we come back, we're going to switch it up. We're going to get a live guest on the horn, and we got Lonnie Somerville from New Brunswick going to join us on the other side of the break. So don't you go anywhere. Lonnie's coming up. So you're a little bit older and a lot less bolder than you used to be. So you used to shake them down, but now you stop and think.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big ball shopping.
Hey, sir. I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
See, I need to eat dunk sauce.
Oh, my God, I got damn.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Take it. You all the way to the track and back.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Third break back. Who is it? It's Ked bringing us back. And I got to tell you, too, it's not going to be too much longer. We got Ked working on some stuff in the background. We're going to have a brand new show opener. And Ked is working on the music track for in the background of it to bring us into each and every night that we do this Race Time Radio broadcast.
Thanks, so Ked.
Ked is working on it. So stay tuned. You're going to hear it when it comes through. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in a crafty veteran, a tested true race winner in a pro stock in a super late model. This guy is multi-champion, multi-winner, and he is from New Brunswick, and his name is Lonnie Somerville, drives the number 23, and I know he has beat our Brad Mann a whole pile of times behind the wheel. How you doing there, Lonnie?
Hey, Lonnie, before you answer here, when there's a big, long lead-in, that means that you're an old guy.
Oh. I know. I don't feel old. I don't act my age. Does that count?
No, you do not. You're correct.
I wasn't calling you an old guy. I was just saying that that's what it means. If
yeah,
that...
I hear you. I feel old when I wake up every morning, but other than that, I still feel pretty young. So.
That a boy. So, busy weekend for you. I know you guys got rained out on Saturday, but you guys did get to the track today.
Yeah, we had a great day today. The weather was fantastic. Pretty decent crowd. Considering the circumstances and, you know, goings on that we're living in right now, but it was a good day. It was kind of nice to get back to normal, or whatever they want to call the new normal, but it was our normal anyways at the racetrack, and sun was out, and it was a nice afternoon for racing.
You got to love it. I seen some photos that Tim Terry had put out earlier in practice. I want to say there were street stocks or four cylinders on the racetrack, and it did look like it was cloudy. I thought, oh, no, I hope these guys don't get rained on again today. But by the sounds of it, everything went fine. What team were you with today? I know you weren't behind the wheel. You were on top of the box with the customer. But who were you with today?
I was with a young fellow named Ben Peltier. Peltier, I guess. His dad raced for years, and he was a Bandolero driver, and his dad stepped aside here a couple years ago and put him in the car, and I've been mentoring him and helping them, and they actually are in one of my old cars. He's learning. It's every day we go to the racetrack, it's a learning experience. It's great for him. He was pretty good in practice today, which he was pretty pumped up about just because we had some speed, and once race time came, we kind of didn't really read the car properly, and I was kind of going off what he was telling me, and I was watching the car, and we were kind of conflicting on that, so I had to let him, I wanted to make sure that he made the call, and he was complaining he was free, and I'm watching it saying it was tight, so it's just a learning experience, and we tightened him up a little bit, and just went the wrong way with it, but he kept all the fenders on it, and we were in a three-wide battle for sixth or seventh at the end and had to back out, otherwise get tore up. So did a good job, and it's fun. They're a great family, fun to be around, and someday you'll hopefully be battling for wins.
You gotta love it. And there is no substitute for seat time and learning, right? He's lucky to be surrounded by the right guys, I can tell you that, because he is going to learn a lot, but it takes time.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that most guys don't have patience for. I know I didn't when I was young. I grew up around the sport, and my dad was a veteran, raced for years before I was ever around, and never wanted to listen to what he had to say. I wanted to do it and learn myself and learn the hard way, and and I had a great mentor in Scott Frazier when I was growing up, and probably him and Frank were the ones I would listen to, so... And it's like most kids, they don't listen to their dad, just like I didn't. So with a lot of these young guys, it's a good fit for me to get in there. And, obviously having the experience, driving, I think helps for spotting and giving them, some ideas on what they can do in the car during the race to manipulate the handling of the car if it's off a little, or just things like that, that I think having a little bit of driving experience is definitely going to help. It's been, obviously this year has been a little bit of a struggle because we haven't had any racing, but now that we're kind of getting going, it's looking like I'm kind of getting booked up here for going with guys for the next few weeks and stuff, so things are going to roll here soon.
Yeah, and you wear many hats, Lonnie Somerville, not only as a driver. You've got your own wheels that you go out there and compete with, and you got Larry with you, and you guys head to the racetrack, and you're searching for the win every time, and you're usually a threat to do it. But you also are a premier builder out there on Canada's East Coast. It's got to be hard juggling the two, I would imagine.
It's honestly definitely affects my racing more than I ever thought it would, just because customers come first, in a sense that you got to pay the bills, and when you choose to make a living in the East Coast, to Canada even for that matter, in racing, when you're trying to make a living off people's hobbies, it's tough, and you've got to, when the work's there, you've got to do it. So there's a lot of times that our racing gets put on the back burner, and I've got a great bunch of guys. Obviously Larry helped us today. He was bored and didn't have much to do, and him and Jessica were up camping at the racetrack, so he was over and guilted him into helping us today, so he was a big help, and one of the best tire guys there is in the business, and does a great job and very thorough, but it does, there's a lot of times that we'll maintain cars for customers, and we get them ready and set up, and maybe last minute decide that we're going to get our car ready for a race, and it doesn't really get the treatment it deserves, and the full meal deal, you might as well say, I guess. Just so sometimes it makes it hard for that I feel like I'm taking my own stuff unprepared when I'm very thorough and you know, with customers' cars. I wish I could do that with my own. This year was kind of looking like it was going to be beneficial. The Matt Harris that I maintained, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years, his stuff, and, you know, I took him to the track, and he just showed up and drove. He retired this year and decided, like, come February or so, he was all done. So it was kind of a, you know, okay, now what are we going to do? We've got to kind of replace him, and it's not going to be easy to do. So, and at the same time, we had already been planning on building this new Rowdy car, and, you know, I've got a great car owner, Bob Calhoun, Pub's Ball Exchange, and kind of lets me kind of do my own thing and race where we want to race. And he, you know, he's, I think, by in my opinion, and a lot of people, sees the best, you know, car owner you could ever have in that sense. And he let us kind of, all right, we're going to build this Rowdy car. So now Matt's retiring. All right, well, now we've got more time to spend on our own stuff. And then if COVID-19 didn't happen. So
yeah.
It kind of, obviously, it's been a messed up year for everybody, but, you know, our goal was to go to Jacasa and go to the Oxford 250 and, you know, knowing that we're going to have a piece that's capable of contending for wins and, you know, all the key pieces to the puzzle. Now we kind of got that flipped upside down. So we definitely, you know, we'll see what's out there for us for racing, but we definitely look forward to getting this thing out on track and seeing what it's capable of doing.
Lonnie, it's interesting that you mentioned the Rowdy portion, that you were going to pick up a Rowdy car. And, you know, the last couple of shows that we've always talked about the diversity in the Maritimes, you know, being some of the most diverse conditions on track from a technology standpoint. It's basically every race in the Maritimes, whether it be a regular Saturday night at 660 or a tour race or a special at Petty. It seems like all the major manufacturers are represented every given race that's out there, whether it be the Furies, the Port Cities, the you know, the distance, the you know, even down into the local built stuff from like Tucker and those guys. I always wondered it and I don't know, and I apologize for not knowing this, but do you build your own chassis as well, or like, is there a Somerville chassis out there floating around somewhere, or are you more so on the setup side and partner with a company like Rowdy?
Yeah. So what we've done in the past, our Sportsman program, we've got a bunch out there that we built okay. in house, but as far as the Super Late Model stuff, Pro Stock stuff, for the longest time we've been Hamke guys and then just do our own thing, and then we work with. When Dean Clattenburg started CRF and went to on his own, left Hamke. Obviously, he's a, you know, a Maritime boy, so we tried to support him, and we've run CRF cars quite a bit, and basically had our own version. You know, it was basically the Somerville CRF car kind of thing, and we did our own thing with Dean, and he's awesome to deal with. And we've done that. You know, a lot of my customers' cars are all Hamke cars. CRF cars, so we've kind of been in that, you know, that version of a chassis. And then I kind of stepped out here a few years back, 2015. I wanted something different. I wanted to try something, you know, that was maybe that I was missing something with the Hamke stuff or the Clattenburg stuff. So we built a Van Doren car, and it you know, it was a good car. I mean, it had tremendous drive. It, you know, it did everything. You know, I wanted to do it, and I couldn't get the darn thing to turn, and I struggled with that. And you know, we talked, ironically enough, Dylan Blakehorn into getting one, and you've seen what he did with a Van Doren car. So,
yeah.
So it's definitely not the car. I mean, they're all the same. You know, it's a piece of steel. It doesn't know what it is. It's what you make it. But what we've, you know, done with the Rowdy deal is I worked with Preston Peltier last year some, and he basically, you know, convinced me into getting a Rowdy car, and they've been great to deal with, you know, Cody down there and Nick and Mike. And, I mean, they've been tremendous to deal with. And what I really look forward to with Rowdy is the alliance they have with all the teams. It feels like they all feed off each other, which I think is what Fury, you know, does and why Fury's been so strong and competitive all around North America. They just, you know, it's one big team in a sense, and they work together. And albeit up here with our 1070, you know, hockey puck tire, and, you know, if we race the tour, the Blue Shock, it's definitely going to be some different, you know, learning curve for a rowdy, obviously, because there's no rowdy cars that run any of that kind of stuff. But they definitely have a great program and a good bunch. I mean, you know, I just actually was just looking at the Redbud practice, and I see Brandon Oakley's top of the board and Sammy Smith's like third quick. So there's two rowdy cars in the top three, you know. So, you know, once again, those guys feed off each other. My buddy Seth Holbrook is now crew chief at KBM. They're all rowdy stuff. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's a fit. With the Hanke stuff, it's been a good fit because Bon Suss has crew chiefed us in the past. And he, you know, he was at KBM and then went on his own and ran the CRF cars and stuff. So that kind of, when I went the Van Dorn route, and it's kind of like I went back home when I did the Hanke stuff. And you know, when you call rowdy, it's still Hanke race cars and stuff. So it's kind of a fit. We've been running the, you know, Hanke stuff since 2005, I think. So I don't know. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, they're all pieces of steel, but you. If you're comfortable with something, you should stick to it. And, you know, these rowdy cars, I think their fit and finish on them is unreal. They're NASCAR quality. You know, they're well thought out. Everything's very well planned out when you – a lot of times I've told a lot of people this. When I work on a race car and I'll build a car for somebody or build my own, and I've, you know, done a lot of – in the past for customers, I'll buy a chassis from Hanke or Klattenberg and just get the bare chassis and I build the car. And there's always things that halfway through you're like, I wish this was this way, or I wish that was that way. And I had this conversation with Sean Tucker at the racetrack yesterday. And this rowdy car, I have yet done one thing in the build, and it's pretty much ready to go to the racetrack. There's not been one time that I was like, I wish this was this way, or I wish that had been done that way, or I would have done it differently. I mean, this thing is bad to the bone. And it's you know, to me, NASCAR quality, you know, and it's, they run like that, you know, and I assume Fury cars are probably the same way. You know, they just up the game a little bit, those two manufacturers. So
absolutely. What do you attribute the diversity in the Maritimes from the technology and manufacturer standpoint to? Is it because the financials are all in line and there's a lot of powerhouse teams out there? Is it because it's a great place for those teams to market? Is it like why is there such a diversity in the Maritimes on the manufacturer side on the racetrack?
Well, I think a lot of it, race car drivers have huge egos. We all do, or we wouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely.
And I think you get to the point where, you know, if I'm running a Hanke car and I wasn't winning, and I was like, well, you know what, I'm going to get one of them Van Dorn cars because then I'll win. And a lot of that is, you know, proof in that is you know, the whole Dylan Blakehorn deal. You know, he got the Van Dorn car, started winning. Well, all of a sudden, everybody started getting Van Dorn cars. Most of the guys don't run any better than they did in their Hanke cars or their Klattenberg cars or their Port City cars. But they bought them because Dylan was winning in one, you know. And I think it's a lot of monkey see, monkey do. And, you know, the distance racing chassis, I mean, they're 4 hours, 5 hours away from most guys just across the border in Maine, easy to get to. You know, the Klattenberg stuff is, I think a lot of people, you know, are loyal to Dean because, you know, he's from up here and been around here. I mean, the Hanke stuff, you know, was popular because of Gary Crooks was up here. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we have a lot of people that are south that are from this area that kind of maybe make you want to do that stuff. And now with Port City with Gary, you know, all that kind of stuff, the Fury stuff, obviously King Racing has brought them to this area and done very well and been super fast. So that'll sell race cars, you know. I think, you know, it's funny because there's no market for used race cars anymore. Everybody buys new stuff, and it's crazy because they're ridiculously expensive. You know, we spend all this money on these race cars to go, you know, bang them up and run Saturday night races or a you know, 150 lap tour race in Riverside or Scotia Speed World. And when it comes time to go sell a really good used car, you can't get anything for it anymore because everybody is so ultra competitive and so everybody wants the best of rigging that they figure they have to have brand new stuff now. And, you know, it really shows on the tour. You know, you go to the first race last year, I mean, there's probably a dozen cars there that are brand new race cars, and you know, 5-10 years ago, you know, it was a big deal when somebody got a new race car. Now it just seems like who isn't getting a new race car kind of thing, right?
Exactly. It seems our off-season show, you know, between the month of December and February, we're talking to guys in the APC Tour. We're talking to guys in Saskatchewan. We're talking to guys out west. And we're also talking to tons of guys from the Maritimes. And it seems like that's the flavor of our show in the winter.
Yeah.
Is guys getting new cars and getting prepped for the year. And it's guys that had a new car either last year or the year before that are getting another new car.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing that stands out to me in Pro Late Model, which is okay right now, and that's kind of what's feeding the fuel, but that can also hurt the industry in a certain sense. You know, going back to the used race car market, that model there has been a part of the sport forever. And you look at you know, even the NASCAR Pinty Series, a guy like DJ Kennington picked up a used car over the winter and is going to race that in the Pinty Series in 2020, but picked up a used car and to race it, where you don't see a top tier name in the sport doing that same thing.
No.
In late model at any level, whether it be super late models for the Snowball Derby. There isn't a used car there.
No.
You know,
there might be
a five or eight race old car, but there's not a used car. It was a brand new car at the beginning of the year, or it was built specifically for the Derby, or the 400s, you know, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even a local Saturday night, you know, in Ontario or the Maritimes, the guy's definitely, you know, and I love hearing a guy like Lonnie Somerville. You can make a 3 or 4 year old car do everything that a brand new car can do.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right? You know, and it's funny. We just joked. I'm sure you guys have heard that we're having a few beer with Larry about Stella.
No, really.
That's our pride and joy. And you know, and it's sitting in a warehouse collecting dust. And you know, we joked about it because I ran a customer's car at Petty here a couple weeks ago, and we went and tested on Friday and thought we were pretty good. You know, we actually put the car back in the trailer before we were done test or before test time was over, and that's not normally like me. Normally I got to change everything 5 times before I'm done testing. But we were pretty sporty. I mean, it didn't have, you know, raw speed, but it drove awesome. And it was the same setup that we had in the exact same car in the Mike Stevens, race last fall, which we were quick and got wrecked early and, you know, put it back together, went to Shediac, just, you know, for a, I don't know what you would call it, but won that very easily. And the car sat here in my shop on jack stands, and my customer, you know, messaged me and said, you know, go race it. I'll buy the tires. So we went and ran it, and I mean, we sucked. We were a 25th place car out of 18 cars.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason for that stuff. And that's the product of bump stops and all that kind of stuff, because it's such a razor blade edge of being really good or terrible. And it shows now, you know, like today at 660, there's 8 or 9 cars that were capable of winning that race. And in practice, you know, all within, you know, the guys running 13.8s to 13.9s, was probably 8 guys within a tenth. And we talked about it yesterday of taking, you know, go getting Stella and dragging it back out and clean the dust up, putting a motor in it and a seat in it and racing it, because I still, and it was conventional stuff, you know, we ran, you know, coal bind or springs, no bump stops on it, and that thing was awesome. I mean, that thing won a lot of races, you know. Before I had it, it won a lot of races with Roland McDonald. You know, it was just a good car. And what makes you think that it can't go right now and win is more of monkey see, monkey do, right? Because everybody's got new stuff, so I can't bring that out. I got a brand new rowdy car. You know?
Yeah, it's like that good pair of shoes that you've got sitting in the corner, right? You go buy new shoes, you want to put the old ones back on because you know how they feel, you know how they're going to react.
Absolutely, yeah. You put the new shoes on because everybody else got new shoes, but your back aches an hour into it. You know, it's just, that's it. I mean, you know, if I wasn't so stubborn and you know, why wouldn't I go get that car? And it's an old left-hander center section with a Hampi front clip. That was, you know, that was 2006 we got that car from Rolly. That's when I started my Hampi kind of voyage. And, I mean, I know that damn thing would run up front. I mean, I'm not saying it could go and, you know, and win a race tomorrow, but I really, you know, think it could, you know. And it's crazy because it's no different if the guy that wins at the race today, you know, has yellow wheels on the next week. Somebody else is going to have yellow wheels on. That's why he won.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. Lonnie, I can tell you, nobody on the planet misses all of you guys on the East Coast more than me and Jerry and Josh and the whole Racetime Radio crew. Man, we can't wait till this COVID thing is gone and we get a chance to get back out there and broadcast some of the best racing that Canada ever sees. But when is your next race? Personally, when do you see yourself getting behind the wheel, and what track and when?
That's a good question. Potentially Petty Raceway this weekend. I've got a young fellow that I help out that kind of works out of my shop, and I work with him quite a bit. And I just actually texted him on my way home. I said, if you're not racing this weekend, I'll go. If you race this weekend, I'll go with you. Otherwise, you know, I'm probably going to get a car ready to go. So we bought a Mulkern Racing that I used to drive for on the past series back in 2011, 2012. The guy that owns all my stuff, Bob, he bought them out. And anyways, we acquired a 2005, 2004 junior Hanley car. Mm. And I raced that thing in 2011, 2012, and the thing was pretty damn good. And it goes right back to, you know, bringing these old cars out. And it's sitting here ready to go. The last time it was actually it was all redone. And they took it to Loudon for the past race. And Teddy Christopher actually was driving it, and they broke a motor in practice. So it was completely redone. You know, new brakes, new rear end, new body, new powder coat. I mean, it's a brand new piece, only 15 years old. But Teddy Christopher drove it, and they broke a motor, and they put it back in the trailer and went home with it. And we acquired it in that deal. And I'm 99% sure that we'll probably take it to the track Saturday. I'll cool. put a motor in it and a seat in it. And Larry actually even just talked to him on the way home. We were talking. He was driving home. Him and Jessica were driving home, I was driving home. And talking on the phone, and he even offered to help me for 3 nights this week, which is unlike a tire guy. Usually, just tires.
Tell Donald Reinhardt that.
I might take him up on it, and we're going to rent the car out. It's going to be like a rental program, is what our plan was. Once again, you can't sell used race cars, so
right.
I'm not going to give it away because it's too nice of a car. But we have a couple cars here that we're pricing out for guys to rent for the 250 in Fredericton and some other races. So maybe it'd be a good way to, you know, show that it's capable of running good and you know, rent it out or sell it or whatever. And we had some rental programs, you know, kind of in the fire, irons in the fire for this year for the IWK and stuff. We actually had sold our Van Doren car to the Garners out in California, which are originally from Ontario. Dylan is the son, he's a driver, and Brad's a dad, and great people. And the intent was they were going to run the Van Doren car out there, and they wanted to come here and run the IWK and a few races like that out here and rent a car from us. And obviously with the COVID, all that kind of fell to the wayside. But I'm hoping, honestly, I'm being very optimistic and hoping that we're going to race an IWK 250 this year. Obviously it's not in July, and it probably isn't going to be in August, but I'm being optimistic and hoping that maybe the CAT 250, maybe the IWK 250 are going to happen in September or something like that, end of August. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be cool? Man, I'll tell you.
It would be awesome. I mean, nothing be more exciting, you know, and I love racing with the tour guys. I mean, they're all my friends, you know, a lot of them. Some of them aren't my friends, I guess. they're probably going to listen to this thing. I'm not his friend, but anyway.
Yeah.
But, no, there's a lot of good guys that race on the tour, and we had a lot of fun over the years. And being busy and going with customers to the racetrack, I haven't been able to go tour racing, and, you know, really look forward to doing that this year. So hopefully we get an opportunity. We're definitely going to shake this thing down, this rowdy car down, in the next couple weeks. And if there's some races at Petty, if there's some races at 660 again, like some bigger extended races, we're going to go. I mean, if Jukasa happens, you know, we're going to that one. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic about it because, you know, we as a racer, obviously we're all optimistic because we're going to win every race, and we never do. So you always think positive. The glass is always half full, not half empty with us. So.
Absolutely. Well said, and I know those big races got your name all over them. They'd drive you crazy if they were running and you weren't. And that's cool, too. anybody that's thinking IWK 250, either 2020 if it happens or 2021, if you're looking for a good viable way with a competitive edge, Lunny Somerville would be a hell of a connection for somebody that, you know, is thinking of maybe doing that. It'd be damn well worth the phone call. How would someone get a hold of you in the shop if they wanted to talk to you about stuff like that or getting something built?
Well, I guess Facebook is kind of a pretty good way to reach people, and I seem to do a lot of business off of that. Just message me on Facebook on either my Lonnie Summer Racing Facebook page or my own personal one. Race shop number is, you know, in the assistant directory. Anybody wants to talk about it or inquire. We have been talking to a few guys that run in the late model sports and stuff about doing some testing and stuff, because it's such a different year, a strange year, that kind of everything's up in the air, and guys are just, you know, people aren't, ironically enough, people aren't spending the money they're used to spending.
Yeah.
And they've got a little extra to spend. So definitely been talking about to some guys about doing some tests and stuff. So yeah, we're open to anything, and love doing it. I mean, I really enjoy putting guys that you know, don't normally would have opportunities like that. And the thing is, a lot of people don't realize you can go, you know, it might cost X amount of dollars to rent a race car to go to a race, but that's the cheap part. You know, the expensive part is buying that car, preparing that car, buying the equipment and stuff. So guys that, you know, that are racers that maybe don't have the equipment to go to those races,
yeah,
it's sometimes a lot cheaper to, you know, just walk in and do that deal. And, I mean, it's big down south. It's not that big up here, just because obviously it's a different world, you know,
yeah,
here compared to down there. But, rental program, you know, we've had a few in the past, and like I say, it's all good gear and cable running up front for sure.
And you know exactly what you're getting into when you talk Riverside, you talk 660, Petty, any of those tracks out there. If I was trying to figure out what kind of gear to run, what do I need, what should I expect, I know I'd be looking you up on Facebook. I know it works for me every time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to market, and made a lot of friends on Facebook that, you know, you wouldn't know normally, and you talk and you chat with them, and that's what's kind of the other thing that's kind of made racing a lot more competitive in my mind, is the fact that social media has, you know, made it easy for people to communicate with other, you know, with people they maybe normally wouldn't know, and I can talk to this guy or that guy, or just a, you know, maybe a guy that's a plumber on the weekdays that maybe isn't educated on racing as much. He can now talk to somebody that's in North Carolina that does this every day, become his buddy, and they talk back and forth and get some information and apply it to his car. So it's definitely made, you know, I feel social media has definitely made racing, you know, a little more competitive in the sense that it's easy to contact or be in touch with people for sure.
Yeah, you want to believe it. Lonnie, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Do me a favor. You're going to see Larry this week. Please, please say hello to him and Jess for me. And you guys get that car prepared. We're going to save a spot for you here on RTR. And hopefully you can go out there and wax them at Petty, and we'll get you on the show. But I know right now you're going to have to beat Hicken when you talk Petty and Pro Stock. It's going to be one of those guys that you're going to go up against.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan is the man at Petty, that's for sure. And super nice guy. I mean, it's when guys win like that, you're happy for them because, you know, they're a great, great bunch of guys, and they're very humble. Jonathan's a super humble guy. So definitely the guy to beat there. And he's been on a roll for sure the last few years there. So it was different seeing him today at 660 and not be, you know, up in the top three or four all day long. They kind of struggled a little bit today, so definitely threw them a curve today. But I'm sure they'll be back on their game next weekend at Petty.
I guarantee it, Bud. This has been great catching up with you. I look forward to the next time already.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
You want to believe it. Lonnie Somerville, driver of the number 23 out there on Canada's East Coast, premier builder as well out there. He's getting the job done there, Jenner.
Absolutely. And if somebody rents a car and uses the coupon code Racetime Radio, Lonnie's got to buy all the beer for the Racetime Radio crew when we come out there.
Well,
just so you know.
No, he's just got to supply it for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just me. Well,
oh,
I don't,
just you?
I don't drink, because if he had the supply for Jerry, that, luck out.
No, that's what I was saying, though. I was trying to say,
and
you, all he's got a supply for you is Pepsi. I was saying the beer for the Racetime Radio crew.
Oh,
that
man.
That way you've got some extra scratch in the pocket.
I'll tell you, man.
Sorry about volunteering that, Lonnie, but... I'm just saying, you know, we're here.
Here. A couple things I want to go through before the end of the show, because it's rapidly approaching here. Gary Crooks is going to be with us next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Another big-time builder out of the United States. He is originally from the East Coast, does setups, does classes. If you're into short track racing, you already know the name Gary Crooks, but if you're new to short track racing, getting into it, getting a car, you'll want to tune in next Sunday night to hear Gary Crooks. Out in Newfoundland, some good news popped out here, Junior. Thunder Valley, which isn't eastbound. It is the other track. There is two tracks out there.
There's two tracks in Newfoundland?
Yes, there is. Thunder Valley is going to open up July 25th, from what I'm reading on Facebook.
How do I not know that
Brad Malindi runs that other track. It's up by, I want to say, and I could be wrong, Bishop Falls? I think it's up near Bishop Falls.
I'm astounded that I don't know that there's two tracks
out
there.
Well, I'm astonished you don't know that either, especially after all the time that I spent out there at Eastbound. But Eastbound will, at least the plan is, it's going to open up, but it's going to take a little bit more before the gates fly open there. But if you're out in Newfoundland, check out Thunder Valley. Brad Malindi's going to get that track fired up. And I know the competitors will be all wound to get out there and get their foot mashed to the floor. Last night, watched Kingsport Speedway for the very first time. Never seen that track before. Watched it on Pit Row TV.
Neat little track.
I'm telling you what, a great night of racing. I was really impressed with it. Announcers did a good job. The teams looked professional. And, yeah, it was really cool to watch. If you haven't got Pit Row TV, you really need to check that out. And you can do that. Just check out pitrow.tv and grab it. I'll tell you what. Best money you're going to spend on pay-per-view television. And you can catch some dynamite races. Have a look at their schedule. The All-Star Race is coming up Wednesday night at Bristol this year. So you want to remember to tune into that. And Flamborough Speedway here in Ontario is going to go back under the green flag on July the 25th. And I believe it's going to be the Can-Am Midgets. Mini Stocks have got a big deal happening. It's going to be a big show, and you're going to be able to catch it all live on GForce.tv. Cool. They're going to have it, and they do a dynamite job as well on that service. Clinton Jeffrey and Greg Kalnan and
Adam Ross.
Yeah, they do a dynamite job. Check that out, and that'll be coming up on the 25th of July. What else do I got for you? I think. That's about everything. How did the 33 make up?
Watch for news with the NASCAR Pinty Series. The schedule is going to be launching, by the sounds of it, this week or next.
Oh, it'll launch tomorrow. We're done tonight. It'll launch tomorrow.
It'll be interesting.
But, yeah, we'll have the latest when they do announce it. We'll get you that information. Sure. How did the 33 make up?
Good. It won the heat and qualified. Albert Francis down at Jennerstown Speedway there. But the feature didn't turn out the way that he wanted it. Tore the nose off the thing.
Oh, really?
But
you don't want to do that.
Bugger.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank Susie Q right here. Happy anniversary, honey. And we got to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio and Cassandra for getting us all hooked up on SiriusXM. As mentioned before, we will be live on SiriusXM channel 167 in the real near future. But until then, yeah, have a listen, and we will catch you again next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good, safe week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com or leave a
message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.